We need the Lord. There's some thoughts I'd like to share with you this evening, or this afternoon. Actually, I think I'd like to go over in the book of Daniel. Get some thoughts out of there. You know, we live in a time when there's a whole lot of changing. Seems like change is being sold as a change that we're in. Fact is, we're going to live with change as long as we live. I look in the mirror and can tell that. I sometimes come to the end of the day and realize that I sure don't feel like I used to at the end of the day. Change happens to us personally. It happens to us sometimes collectively, and sometimes as a nation. We have we're going through a change in this nation right now. A lot of things going on, and I'll just be frank with you, I'm not happy with all the changes that I see going on. Sometimes I don't believe they're beneficial to us. I think it's dangerous. Some things, it's decisions, some of the things that they're doing. And it hasn't been a change, it's happened the last 6 months. We've been changing in the wrong direction for quite a while. So don't take by what I'm saying. I'm blaming all this on the last few months. And we've been having some trouble in this nation going the right direction. Haven't been going the right direction for quite some time. But that doesn't mean that we can't be faithful. That doesn't mean we can't gain the victory and be faithful and true and be in that position that the Lord can cause our light to shine. You remember, there's a verse in the Scripture that says, "Let your light shine." Now, I don't believe that, by that, I don't think God ever intended for us to try to muscle up and make my light shine. I think He wants us to relax and follow Him and allow it to shine. The Lord lights my candle. Not me, not you. We follow the Lord and allow the Lord to cause us to shine forth in this world. If we follow Him, we will shine. I was thinking in connection recently about all that we have going on around us, political changes, some of the things that I see going on. I feel like that if it matures and continues like it is, we may not enjoy the same freedoms that we enjoy today. There's going to be some changes. Let me catch that bottle of water right there, Brother James. It was just headed this direction. I thought you might want it later. I'm sorry. You see things up here as people don't see down there. I'm sorry. Anyway, we are going, and sometimes we start feeling uptight. I don't know about you, but there's something in me that wants to rise up. Oh, we've got to change this. We're going to have to get involved. Be careful. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Wonder how Daniel would have fared if he would have picked up the sword and went trying to cut off somebody's head. Wonder how he would have fared. Peter got rebuked for it, didn't he? We can't fight with the weapons of carnality. It's not allowing our light to shine. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray. I think we should. I'm not saying we shouldn't carry a burden for our nation. I think we should. I think we should carry a burden for each other too. We have things that we're dealing with today that maybe others in our past haven't had to deal with. But they're still the same God. There's a God that wants to take us through with victory. Daniel was a young man that was taken into captivity down to the land of Babylon. And it seems as we look into and maybe study some of their case, a lot of what they did back then when they took these young men captive, they made them eunuchs. They were slaves of the court. A lot of things was done to them to violate them personally. And I tell you what, there's something in a young man or a man's personality, he wants to fight. That's an injustice. You think Daniel would have risen to the heights he rose to if he would have allowed that anger to boil within him? You think he would have? I don't believe he would have. And we can be concerned with what's going on around us today, but we can't allow that anger to boil within us. Can't do it. That's not the way to victory. You follow Daniel's life. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. And part of the king's meat, I know that back then they were talking about the physical things that they ate, and that's what Daniel rejected. But there's a different meat that the devil is trying to feed to us today. It's still the same meat of carnality, trying to get you and I caught up so that we become ineffective for the things of the Lord. Try to get us caught up in all the carnal response, and we cannot fall prey to that. Because if we do, we will fail to be that light in the world that God wants you and I to be. We will become ineffective for the Lord. We cannot afford to allow the things going on around us to affect us to the point we can't, that we lose our victory. Daniel. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. And I'll tell you what he began to do. He began to still just be faithful right in the hard times. Right when the man said, "You're going to have to eat this because you put my life at jeopardy. It's not just you that you're jeopardizing, but me too." Now, wouldn't you do it just to not offend your brother? Or another? Others sometimes understand the reasoning we can go through. But Daniel said, "You try us because my God." See, Daniel had his eyes go beyond. His faith reached beyond the moment and the problems he was going through. And he reached forward to the Lord. And they tried him. And he came out. They looked better. They came out ahead. I know I'm shortening up this story. I'm telling it to you. You'll find it here in the book of Daniel. You read it. Yes. And as he went forward, he put himself, because he was faithful in the small things of life, he put himself in a position that there came a time that the Lord gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And the dream really troubled him. And Nebuchadnezzar wasn't able to find others that was able to give him the interpretation of this dream. And you remember, the king said, "I'm going to kill y'all." All the wise men, they couldn't tell me the interpretation of this dream. Said, "You're going to have to die because," I think he felt like y'all must be fakes. So they went out to gather them all up, and they're going to gather Daniel up with that group. And Daniel hadn't been consulted. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they hadn't been consulted. And Daniel said, "Why is the king's decree so hasty? Give me some time." You remember how he did that? And he said, "My God, He will give us an answer." I'm putting that in my words, but basically that's what he's saying here in the scripture. But he said that. The one that I serve has an answer for you. Went back and told the king, "We've got somebody who feels like they can get the answer. Need some time." Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went to prayer. I tell you what I thought of this morning, Brother Marty's message. Remember, talking about how great God is? And he said, what likeness would you make of Him? I don't care whether you carved a mountain in Russia, out in the Black Hills of South Dakota, and carved some beautiful creation out of that mountain, said, "This is our God." It would still be demeaning to the size of our God. That's the reason why God said, "Don't make a likeness of me. You go put Him in a box. God's greater than all of it. He's that big." Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego met something that was too big for them, but it wasn't too big for God. And they went to prayer, fasting and prayer, and the Lord gave Daniel the answer. Now, what would have happened now if Daniel had defiled himself, hadn't humbled himself, hadn't allowed the Lord to lead him? What would have happened right there?
He would have failed. He wouldn't have been that light. Let your light shine. Allow the Lord to light our candle. Allow the Lord right now in this sin-darkened world, all the things going on around about us, allow the Lord to lead us step by step right on through it and not get caught up in the anger and the frustration. I understand the anger and the frustration. Believe me, when I tell you, I understand that feeling. I'm a very independent old country boy, and I'm the kind of person, you let me have my space and my freedom. Don't impinge upon it. But I've also begun to learn that when I let that frustration build up within me, I start detracting from the glory of the Lord in my life. And saints, we can't allow the conditions around us to dictate our victory or the loss of our victory. We need to hang on to the Lord. Now, Daniel didn't allow that to happen to him. And here came a critical moment. And he told the king the interpretation of his dream. You remember what he saw? He saw the head of gold and he saw that image. And Daniel said, "You're the king, you're the head of gold." Maybe I'm getting the story here. Remember, talk about the tree, wasn't it? The stump. That's the one I'm wanting to get to. Now, the tree that and all the fowls there came in and lodged in, and he cut it down. And his seven times passed over it. Do you remember what Daniel said to the king? Remember the counsel he gave him? A slave, a foreigner slave, giving counsel to the king. I believe Daniel loved the man, loved him enough to risk his life in telling him this. Oh, king, listen to what I have to tell you. Cut off your evil. By righteousness. Tranquility. That's right. Yes. That's right. This slave, this foreign slave, this young man who risked his life again, saying, "Oh, king, please listen to me. This is what you need to do." Oh, I don't think that the king would have been able to hear him if Daniel had been taking out a sword and cutting and slashing and saying, "King, you can't do it that way. King, you're going to have to listen to me now." I think Daniel took an humble way. Came to the point, "Oh, king, listen to me. I want the lengthening of your tranquility. I want your days to be peaceful, king." And the king, I don't know, maybe he took it for a little bit. About a year later, the king was up on top of his, I picture him anyway, up on his top of his house, looking out all over his dominion. And he stretched out his hand and said, "Look at all of what my arm, what I have gained. Look at what I've done." And he said, "There fell a voice from heaven." Folks, I've been praying that there'd be some voices from heaven come down in Washington, D.C. It's not wrong for us to pray that. I've been asking the Lord, somebody mentioned maybe in prayer that have some Damascus experiences, on the road to Damascus experiences. We need some help in this nation. Not wrong for us to pray that way. There came a voice. Right when it looks like maybe that the devil's having his sway in our nation or affecting lives in a negative way, I want you to know there's still a God who knows how to speak. There came a voice down from heaven. And that voice decreed against Nebuchadnezzar. And they drove him out. And 7 years passed over him. Have you ever wondered what happened over those 7 years between? And he got his kingdom back when his reason returned. Do you remember that? 7 years. That's actually quite a bit of time. We elect a president for 4 years. And if he wins election again after 8 years, this man was incapacitated for 7 years. Somebody ran his kingdom. And I don't know, this is pure speculation, I have no evidence. But it wouldn't surprise me a bit. You remember after Daniel and his friends had been faithful and true to the king,
there had been some elevation of Daniel. They recognized God here. And it wouldn't surprise, this is pure speculation. I have no Bible to tell you this is true. But it wouldn't surprise me if what a wise Daniel who knew and believed the interpretation of that dream had, and because that the king had favored Daniel, Daniel may have begun to tell those around him, it's going to happen. And he began to help people position themselves. Somebody preserved that kingdom for Nebuchadnezzar those 7 years. And I can see, again, I don't know, I can't prove it to you, but it wouldn't surprise me what Daniel wasn't one of those who preserved that kingdom for Nebuchadnezzar and maybe even was the governing force behind that great kingdom those 7 years. And then who would be in that position, be a leader of such a great nation, and then be willing to give it back after 7 years, but an humble servant of God? Wouldn't happen in this nation. You get somebody get up there in power right now, they want to hang on to as long as what they can. So those are some of the reasons why it wouldn't surprise me at all what Daniel wasn't the one. Faithful man of God, right there. God needs some faithful men today. Needs to have some faithful people who stands true and faithful right today. Daniel. Then, you remember, went on down. You remember, again in Daniel, remember the three Hebrew children? Do you remember what happened there? Maybe that happened before this point, before I've gotten the story. It looked like it had been the easiest thing just to kind of go along with the flow. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego out there. Wouldn't you think it'd be easier just to bow down with everybody else at the same time and say, well, I'm bowing down, but I'm going to bow down to my God, but I just don't want to make waves, so I'll just bow down. That'd be easy, kind of easy way out, wouldn't it? These men, young men, purposed in their heart not to be defiled. And again, they chose to stand true. Now, if they would have just went along with the flow and bowed down, Nebuchadnezzar would have never seen the form of the fourth man in the fire. Wouldn't have done it. Do you remember the decree that Nebuchadnezzar said after he had said, he looked in there and he said, didn't we put three men in the midst of that fire? Yes, I see four. And not only, and we put them in there all tied up. Not only do I see four, they're loose and they're walking in the midst of the fire, and the fire can't burn them.
No hurt.
So it calls them out of there, and they come out of there. No smell of smoke. These are faithful people. The easier way would have been to blend in, to act like everyone else, and say, well, the Lord looks on the heart anyway, so I'm just going to worship the Lord. I'll bow down out here. I don't want to make waves. I wouldn't like to make the king angry. You see, it's more important that I live. Folks, it's more important that God's glorified. God will take care of you. Even if He takes you on, He'll be taking care of you. And these young men were faithful to the Lord. You remember how they answered the king, "Oh, king, we're not careful. We're not full of care. You told us to consider this. Well, you're going to give us another chance to really think it over, because you think surely we'll come to our senses if we have a little time to think about it. But king, I want to tell you, we've already thought about it, and we're not full of care in this matter. We're not. We realize you have that power. We realize you can put us in there. But," they said, our God is above this. And he can and he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. We're not.
If not,
we will not. What did he say? If not, go ahead, Brother Leslie.
If not, he
unto thee, O king.
We will not serve thy God.
That's right. Do you think they were trying to cause their light to shine? You think they were trying to get brownie points out of this? Do you think they were trying to get everybody to look at them and say, look how good these... That's not what they set out to do. They set out to be faithful. They set out to be true. And God wants you and I here in this world, in this era that we're living in today, with all the things going on round about us, He wants you and I to be faithful today.
Amen.
Now, there was another time after all this that the Lord had done. There came another king after this. Talked one place in the Scripture talks about him being the Nebuchadnezzar's son. Maybe it was his grandson historically when you get to study into it. It may have been. Anyway, he was a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Belteshazzar. I believe that was his name. Wasn't Daniel Belshazzar? They named him. Anyway. Do I have it backwards? Belteshazzar was Daniel and Belshazzar was the king. Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar, the only chapter in the Bible that I know of that had been written by someone who I term a pagan king was in Daniel by Nebuchadnezzar. Have you ever thought of that? And his, what he says, I do extol and honor the God of heaven. He said he knows how to work his affairs in the affairs of men. He knows how to, he rules. He sets up whom he wants to and he takes down who he wants. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said after his reason returned to him. Now I honor him. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. Maybe he was converted. I don't know.
Honor?
Yes. Then his descendant who had saw, who had recognized and knew that there was a God that was this big, became lifted up within himself. Belshazzar, he thought that, power goes to people's heads. He got lifted up, and he got into had a big feast and got into a drunken state, and he said, let's bring out the gold out of my storehouse. Some of that, remember that we took down there from the temple in Jerusalem? Those are beautiful pieces. Oh, let's drink wine out of them. Brought them out and began to flaunt his little power. He thought he was great, and he was in men's eyes. But he began to flaunt his power before the God of heaven. Lifted up his glass and toasted the gods of gold and silver and of wood. He began, oh. And all of a sudden he looks over. I imagine a hush swept across the revelry. All the laughing and the making fun and the looseness that had come over the men and the pushing of the limits and the ungodly things they were involved with and the laughing at each other and the excess of immoral activity. I imagine that there was a hushness swept over them, and all of a sudden their reason began to return too. All the drunken stupor began. Oh. And he looked over that wall, and there was a form of a form of a man's hand began to write on a wall. Nobody could read it. But there was one that knew. Notice this. They knew this about Daniel, didn't they? They knew this. Remember when Peter wanted to defend this thing? Remember when he said, no, Lord, they're not going to take you. I'll be there. I'll fight for you. And he grabbed his sword and he did. He fought for him, didn't he? But he was fighting wrong. He took out that sword and he swung at that man. And I don't know whether he ducked. I don't think Peter intended to miss. I think he was aiming. But somehow the mercy of the Lord maybe just made it so he just cut off his ear. But that's what he did. And the Lord had to rebuke him. Folks, carnality, I don't care if you're doing it, even for a good, what seems to be a good cause, carnality is enmity against Christ. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's not useful to the Lord, whether it's behind the pulpit or out in the street alley fighting. Neither place is carnality right. It's not glorifying to God. This man Daniel had conducted himself faithfully to the Lord. And when it came down to the time when they were needing help again, they said, "There is a man that we know that in him is the right spirit. In him is a spirit of," what did it say, Brother Leslie?
"In him the spirit of the Holy God."
The Holy God. They recognize this faithful man. Excellent, yes. You remember when they told Daniel, this is later on, they told him that you're going to have to quit praying to your God. You're only going to have to pray to the king, Darius. You remember how he handled that? He sure did. Faithful man, wasn't he? Faithful. You know, and he was right next to the king in power. Do you know what he could have used his power for? He could have used his power to say, "I know these fellows are scheming against me." He was wise enough man that he could have used his power carnally to get rid of them. I believe Daniel could have done that. He was over all of those. He could have done it. But you know what Daniel did? Found in him an excellent spirit. He was a faithful man. God's looking for some faithful men today. That'll include you young ladies too. But God's looking for some faithful people that's going to be faithful today in the things that you and I are struggling with. The changes that's coming about in our nation. The changes that's coming about in our midst. I've seen some changes come in some of our young people. Some of the changes they're trying to bring about. Some of the things that they're going out after. I want to tell you that they're going after it the wrong way. That's not the changes that the Lord wants to bless. There's a change that God wants to have in our lives. That's an humble following of the Lord. Some of the changes they're trying to make doesn't make sense. I don't understand why. I know I do understand why, because there's a carnal desire to go after some of those things in the world. But folks, it's detrimental. It'll be destructive. When it's all over with, the claws of the world will be in you, and you'll look at yourself in the mirror and say, "How did I get here?" And the Lord wants to protect us and keep us from that. God's looking for some faithful people today who's willing to take that humble route. Be in that place where the Lord can use him. You know what happened to Daniel every time he humbled himself down and just let the Lord have his way in his life? The Lord kept pushing him up there to be the first or second in command of the nation. He never sought for that position. Daniel didn't go in there and say, "Well, if I can do this, and if I can sneak around and talk to this person, kind of get in good with this one, and maybe come over here and get the support of this one, and maybe if I do work just right and get some favors here, that when the time comes I can be..." That's not the way Daniel worked. Daniel was of an excellent spirit. Well, what happened to Daniel whenever they threw him into the lion's den after he had been faithful? After he had went right over there and continued to pray three times a day to his God. What happened to him? Don't you expect those hungry lions... They were ready for a meal now, weren't they? They did it. He went all the way, put him in there. He did. They threw him in there, and they didn't say, "All right, you're there. Let's jerk him back out. See how much left." They left him there. And the king, because he knew this was in him was an excellent spirit, in this Daniel was an excellent spirit. He mourned for this man. Spent the night in prayer. Fasting in prayer. Oh, it really bothered him. He couldn't sleep. Went from him. All night long, I imagine, he longed for the first rays of the next day. Oh, that was probably the longest night Darius had ever faced. When the light began to, imagine the dawn began, told his men, let's get ready. We're going out there to that lion's den. Went out there. And he listened. It takes a faithful man. I want to tell you. Innocency. A faithful man. Faithful and true. In the face of adversity, what looks like everything going down to decay. And I want to tell you, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego lived faithful in much harder times than what you and I are facing. They did it. I don't know what we're facing, but I know this much, we can be faithful. And we think, well, surely evil is being glorified and brought into power. And it is. It was there too. I want to tell you what, through faithful men, these evil men who was in power began to say, there's a God. And they began to give decrees that I want my whole people here to recognize the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I want you all to glorify and honor this God. That wouldn't have happened if they hadn't have been faithful. Remember when they brought Daniel out of the lion's den? Oh, they honored Daniel's God. When the king was talking to him, as a God whom you serve continually, has he been with you? Oh, yes. Not only that, his angel has been here all night long. Faithful men. I know, and I don't know, maybe you all aren't just like me, but I've been watching, have watched for some time, some of the changes going about, and it seems like it's accelerated quite a bit here just of late in our nation. Some of the things, and it concerns me a lot. And inside me, there wants to well up this one of, I suppose in men, God put something in us to want to be defenders, protectors of our family, and that's not wrong unless we let it go into the carnal, aggressive phase. God doesn't want that to happen. But this is what some of the things I've been having a struggle with in my own self, and the Lord's been trying to teach me, and I'm trying to learn. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were faithful in their service to the Lord. They stayed in contact with Him. They prayed to Him. They honored their God. They stayed in contact with the God of heaven. And as they lived their life, opportunity came their way. Opportunity, situations came their way that God brought about in their lives. And when they were faithful through it, those looking on said, there's a God. Through your faithfulness today, and I'm not going to say that you're going to end up running this country. If the Lord chooses to make you that, He can do that. But I know this much, that if you'll be faithful and true and let Him take you through whatever the future holds for you, there will come times that when you're faithful through it and the Lord brings you through, others will look on and say, there's a God. There is a God. Right now, our school system, our nation, they're trying to teach everyone, and they're trying to promote the idea strongly in our nation that there is no God. And they are promoting that heavily. I want to tell you what God needs a few of us just being true and faithful. Because what that does, that wrecks all their ideas that there's no God. When they see, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, I suspect that after somebody gets to that pinnacle of power and they built that big old image out there, he probably realized that all this idea of images, worshiping a rock here and a rock there and a lump of gold here, is kind of fake. I imagine he's kind of scoffed at all those fake gods out there. So he built one of his own. See if I can't make everybody bow down to mine. You get cynical when you get to that place in their life. And I think maybe Nebuchadnezzar was. But there was something he had in contact, he came in contact with through some faithful men that went way beyond that image out there on the plain. Went way beyond anybody's carving. Went way beyond anybody's figment of their imagination. He looked in that furnace and he saw a fourth man. And that wrecked all his thoughts of there being no God. There is one. God wants you and I, in the time we're living in today, to be like a Daniel, to be like a Shadrach, to be like an Abednego. Allow the Lord to take you and I through these times in our life to be faithful. Again, I say, let the Lord light our candle. Let your light shine. Don't try to seek for ways to be out there in the forefront, let everybody see. God wants us to testify and witness for Him. But be careful that your witness is for the Lord and not just because you're pushing something. Be careful. Let your light shine. Be faithful. Be true. You know, people of the world can see there's a lot of difference between people who are just trying to promote something and somebody who has something. They know the difference between the fake and the true. And when you and I are faithful and live that life, when the times are hard, when everybody's coming out against you, and you're willing to be faithful and humble and true, they're going to walk away shaking their head and say, there's a God. I just saw Him. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true. Dare to make it known today. Now, again, I'll say it. You may not be like me. You may not be quite as worked up. You may not be quite as concerned about the changes that we see going on. But I am. I'm concerned about them. But we need to lay... I'm not saying don't be concerned. Carry a burden. But that's not where our focus needs to be on. Our focus is going to have to be on the God of heaven. When I see a large group of young people going out and creating their own standard of what they call godliness, when I see and supporting one, I've seen this, I've watched it happen. They're supporting each other in that. And right now in their minds, they've got another standard of holiness. Of Christianity they're trying to live. And they're supporting each other. And I see that, and that concerns me greatly. God wants you and I to be faithful. We can carnality go out there, try to tell them, oh, let's be careful. Be a witness, yes. But let your light shine. Be faithful unto the Lord. Let the Lord light our candle. Want to be a Daniel. Want to be like a Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Don't want to be like Peter, who grabbed that sword and going to go to fight. And you remember he got rebuked because of that. That's not the way. You take with the sword, you're going to die with the sword. That's not... Carnality is not the way that the Lord chooses for you and I to act. He wants you and I to be humble enough, strong enough, courageous enough to to stand true and allow them to mock and still stand true. Allow the devil to say, I got you now. I'm going to crush you. I'm going to mock you. I'm going to put you in a fiery furnace. I'm going to kill you with cancer. All right. I'm in the Lord's hand. I'm in the Lord's hand. There's a God. And you know what? The Lord is the one that holds life and death anyway. The devil, even though he says that, he's not the one. If the Lord chooses to take us, that's all right. Don't. I know it's one thing to sit here and say it's all right and say we want to make heaven. And it's another thing to go through it. That's difficult. I understand. I've been there a little bit. I want to tell you what. I've seen some others face it. I saw my grandpa Beasley. When he got down to the end of his life, he embraced the idea of I'm going home. I know it can be done. I'm not saying we shouldn't want to try to preserve life. We should. We should enjoy our life here. But folks, there comes a time that I want to go on over there. And we need to realize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We need to have some treasures laid up over there. We need to be faithful and true to the Lord while we're here. The Lord wants some people who are faithful, who stand true, that will be in that place that He can use your life to testify to others, whether it be kings or your next door neighbor. We'll be able to, by our life, testify that there is a God. Pray for me. I want to be faithful too.